And if only we're Amish, we'd say how to be a Salmish Amish, but we're not. And how to be Salmish, and that's where we are, that's what we're learning. Psalms 5 is where we'll be, and we're going to be reading a lot of verses tonight in Psalms. And we'll try to stay all in Psalms, except for I might hit a couple of verses in Proverbs, we'll see. Psalm chapter 5 is where we'll start. We could, again, all these verses will hit the same theme. Psalm chapter 5 and verse 7. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Let's pray. We'll talk about being psalmish tonight and about trusting in the Lord. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching. Thank you for your people. Thank you. We can sing your praises, Lord. And that song was along those lines. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest. And Lord, I don't think a lot of us know about that calmness and perfect peace and rest. But I pray tonight that you'd give us wisdom in that so we know that truth. And I pray you'd also give us the grace and strength to do that. Please help and give me every word and speak to heart. Lord, as I pray many times today, I need you tonight. And I pray you do a mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk about trusting in the Lord. It says in verse 11, but they that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. There are bodyguards you go hire, and they're tough guys. They're from everything from ex-boxers to people who are in the military to all kinds of things, police officers and everything. And they're your bodyguards, and they protect you. But this verse says, those that trust in God, God defends them. I have a feeling that God could be a pretty good bodyguard, and he could probably keep you pretty safe. And I think that nobody could sneak up on you or do anything. And it says, but they that trust in the Lord, the trigger is the trust, and they'll rejoice. And let all those that trust in you rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. And let them also that love your name rejoice in you. If we want to be psalmish, we need to realize the book of Psalms is the number one book in the Bible that talks about trust in the Lord. It's a little bit surprising. I don't know that that's what I would think in the first place, that Psalms had the most trust in the Lord. But it does. As a matter of fact, it has three times more times that it refers to trust in the Lord than any other book in the Bible. And it has 68 times it refers to trust or trusting in God. Psalms does. And so if we want to live this life like a psalmish Christian and have that part of the Bible in our lives, we need to learn to trust in the Lord. We're not good trusters. And we're not good at trusting in a lot of things. We're a little cynical. We're a little doubtful. We've been hurt or wounded, or we just learn to distrust people and learn not to trust. And then, of course, it applies to the Lord. I didn't trust as a child. I didn't trust when I was young much because of my upbringing. And I don't know why, but I used to, I ended up trusting a guy who I used to work for. When I was about 11, we started selling candy. And it was kind of a weird thing. We took these boxes around. We had this guy who used to take us to sell candy. And the truth is, he wasn't a super honest guy. And he's a Mormon. But he wasn't an honest Mormon. A lot of them are more honest. He wasn't one of them. He would take us out. We would go sell candy for $3 a box, and we'd keep a dollar for every box we sold. And we went all over. He took us to California. He took us to all over Oregon when he did it. And we would sell candy. I actually made pretty good money at it. I don't know why, because I'm not extroverted and not very good at people. I'm not a good salesman. But in that thing, I did great. Matter of fact, I was always the best cellar of all the kids. And I have no idea why, really, to this day. The strange thing about it was I knew that the guy was very greedy. And he was. He loved money. He was a greedy guy. He would argue with you over a quarter for an hour. I mean, he just was. He was so tight, and he loved money. And he if he made an extra dollar, or if he could rip you off, he would get the biggest grin on his face. And that's just the way he was. And I knew that about him, and I don't know why, but I knew he was greedy, so I knew he always wanted me to do well, not because he loved me so much, but because when I did well, he did well. And so I learned to trust him. Wherever he would send me out, I was his best salesman. And so whenever he sent me out, I just said, fine. But all the other kids would always gripe and whine. And we'd go to an area, let's say you go on Pack Highway here, and you'd go between 216th and 240th, and you go do that area. And he'd drop you off in that area, and you'd go do the whole area and all the businesses, and you'd sell your candy. And the people would always gripe. And the weird thing about it was I always trusted him. And it was probably, I don't know why I trusted him, but I did. And he would always, whenever somebody would gripe about the area, he would always give me the area. And he'd say, all right, come on up here. And he'd say, you don't want to take it? Fine, I'll give it to him. He'd send me up there, and I would go to the area that they griped about, because they usually thought it doesn't look like a good area. Don't ask me why, but whenever they rejected the area and I took the area, I would always sell all my candy. Every time. And it was kind of a strange thing, because after a while, I think that he kind of planned it that way to make them look bad and make him look good. I think he'd go through a part of the area to look bad. They would gripe. He'd call me up, and the rest of the area would be good. And I don't know how it all worked, but I remember whatever he said I needed to do to sell candy, I would trust him and do it. And I just learned, you know what? He wants me to make money. He's greedy. And you know what? If I make money, he makes money. And so I always trusted him. And I always did better than everybody else on that job, probably just because simply I trusted him and he wanted me to do good, because there's only one who didn't gripe and trusted him. Now, that was a brief stint for a couple years. After that, and by the way, we're the biggest bunch of hoodlums. Everywhere we went, we had police called on. I could tell you stories we did and things we did and how many times we got the police called on us. And that guy was the best salesman in the world. He talked us out of more times getting him hauled off to jail and us not having a driver. It was high-speed chases and beating up people in supermarkets, and I can't tell you all the things we did. It was not a holy atmosphere, but I wasn't a Christian. But it ended up that he wanted me to do well because I trusted him. I was the only one who trusted him. And so he always wanted me to do well. I think in a strange sort of way, we see when you can totally rest in God, who isn't sneaky and who wants you to do well, because if you're doing his will and you do well, that means his kingdom does good. I think you realize you can really trust God no matter if it doesn't look like the best thing or not. You can always trust him. And there's some things in here I want to talk about. With the 68 times it talks about trust in God, there's a few points I want to go to. Number one, we become blessed when we trust in the Lord. God just says that. If you will trust me, you're going to be blessed. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 12. And just, we'll read some verses here. Just talks about blessed and those who are blessed because they trust God. It says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Okay, if we just take the Bible, what it says, if you trust God, are you going to be blessed? That's what it says. Blessed are all they put their trust in him. The devil will tell you there's an exception, and you're the exception. But God says, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. That's what God says. And I can read you a lot of other verses. Let me read just a really good one. Psalms 31. Psalm 31. And verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, whom thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God just going to bless you. And one more on that, Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So we see you're going to be blessed if you trust in God. If you can get yourself to the point where you trust God, you are going to be, as the Bible says, a blessed person. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a blessed person. And that's what God says will happen. Some things that happens. Number one, trusting God brings mercy. Trusting God brings mercy. Chapter 32 and verse 10. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. How many of you, like me, need some mercy? All right? It says mercy will surround you if you trust in the Lord. That's a good reason to trust God right there. Mercy will compass you about. Next, if you'll find your purposes in life fulfilled. What you're trying to get done and what you're trying to get accomplished in life, you'll find them fulfilled. Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Three verses in a row that say, if you will trust God, God will help the purposes that you desire in your life and the things you want to accomplish. He'll bring those things to pass. How many people jump the gun in their lives not trusting God to be able to take care of them? It happens when someone will take a job where they can't go to church. It happens when someone gets married before God wants them to get married. It happens when someone tries to get in the ministry before God says it's time to get in the ministry. Is they do not take time to trust in God, but God says, if you trust in me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I will bring it to pass. I will get your purposes accomplished. I will fulfill the things that need to be done if you will trust in me. But God says you need to trust me, but most people are control freaks. They're control freaks, and they cannot wait for God to do that. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, thou shalt be fed. You delight yourself in the Lord, he fulfills a desire of your heart, and it's a promise of God. Next, trust in the Lord brings joy and excitement. Trust in the Lord brings joy and excitement. Psalm 33. And verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Psalm 33 and verse 20 and 21. For our hearts shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. And then chapter 28 and verse 7. It says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with a song will I yet praise him. They trusted God, and in the end they sing a great song of rejoicing because God has blessed them. In other words, you trust in God, you will have a joyful heart, and your life will be blessed, and you'll be happy if you can get yourself to trust in the Lord. Next, if you trust in the Lord, he brings help in the time of trouble. Psalm chapter 9. Psalm chapter 9 and verse 9. The Lord will also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For though thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. And of course, this famous Psalm 91, the Psalm of Protection, talks about the time of trouble. Verse 2, I will say the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. So God will keep you safe if you trust in him. Next, if you trust in God, God will bring you courage. Psalm 11, verse 1. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? I put my trust in the Lord. I love what David said, Nehemiah said. Should a man such as I flee? Trust in God brings you courage. I think of John R. Rice when a man came to him in an elevator and put the gun up against him and said, give me all your money or I'll blow your brains out. He said the funny thing, Brother House was with him, said the funny thing was he pointed his gun at his stomach and said, give me your money or I'll blow your brains out. And that's why they're criminals. And John R. Rice looked at the man and says, son, you can't threaten me with heaven. You can't threaten me with heaven. And when you trust in the Lord, you get courage. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. Psalm 27 Verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. It says, I trust in God. Why would I be afraid of what man can do unto me? That my worst enemy can come to ruin my life, God can strike him dead before he gets to me. I mean, my worst enemy, God can do whatever they want. Yet we are so afraid of so many things. One person's afraid of physical damage. One person's afraid of the media. One person's afraid of their mother-in-law. One person's afraid of a little child yelling at them. Another person's afraid of being embarrassed when they go take their Bible to school. Another one's afraid of getting a door slammed in their face. But why would you be afraid when you trust in the Lord? He's going to reward you. He's going to take care of you. If you ever could get fed to the lions, it can't happen unless God allows it. If you could go to the mission field and bad things are going to happen, you can't get sick if God doesn't allow it. Read Mark 16. God can take care of you. Why would you live in fear? When you really trust God, you can have courage. When I wrote to Haiti the first time, I had some Haitians come to me and said, it's very dangerous. And you can get kidnapped when you're there, and you can get sick, and you get this, and you can get that. And you need to be very careful. And this Haitian told me, I'm not going back there right now because now they know I'm an American, and I talk with American accent and words, and they'll know I'm there, and they'll kidnap me, and you shouldn't go. And I emailed the man who was taking care of me there. I said, I just want you to know, a man told me this. I just want to know if this is true or not. It's not going to stop me from coming. And he wrote back and said, no, you're going to be fine. I said, I want you to know, do not stop from anything. I don't worry about it at all. God can take care of me. I'm not worried about getting sick. I'm not worried about getting kidnapped or killed or anything else. Anywhere I am, I'm just as safe in the will of God. And anywhere outside the will of God, I can die. A lot of people who thought that their life was going to be really safe found themselves in the middle of a car accident, a random shooter, or they had something flowing through their blood that was going to go into their heart. Listen, safety is of God. And being right with God, trusting Him, we are way too worried about our health and about what can happen to you. I'd feel safer in the will of God in the middle of Iran right now than I'd feel outside the will of God in Des Moines. We need to trust in God. It brings courage. Next, trusting in God puts a demand on God to help you. It puts a demand on God to help you. I like this. So we're going to read a lot of verses on this. Psalm 17, and this is the most common thing probably in Psalms, is people going to God and say, Lord, I've trusted in you. Don't embarrass yourself. Don't let my enemy win. Don't let the people who are mocking you win. I'm trusting in you to take care of me, God. I'm in your hands. And I'm in this position because I followed you. And so we see this very, very common in the scriptures. And Psalm chapter 17 and verse 7, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 143. And again, hope you're paying good attention here because I'm reading a lot of scripture and it's you got to pay attention here because it's a lot of verses. Verse 8, this is Psalm 143, verse 8. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. He says, Lord, deliver me because for in you I trust. It's because I'm trusting in you. In other words, you'll get yourself glory and you'll get yourself honor and you'll show that. Can you imagine, let's say some friend of yours called you and they said, I've been allowed one phone call. I have an emergency at my house and you're the person that I call because I know I can trust you. I need you to go to my house and I need you to do this with my children and this because I can't get there and it's a great danger and I'm trusting you to get this done and I've called you because you're the person that I put my faith in. Please don't fail me. Do you think that in that position you would come through for them? Because they put you in the position where they were trusting you and because they called upon you because you were the one that they believed in. Can you imagine the humility if you didn't get it done? If you did not do the thing they asked you to do because you failed them? I would do it no matter what I had to cancel. And I believe the same thing when we serve the Lord with our life and say, God, deliver me, help me, because I'm trusting you in this thing, God. I've done your will. I'm trying to do your will. I don't know what to do, but I'm trusting you. My unsaved relatives know I'm trusting you. Everybody knows that it's you. Lord, I'm trusting you. Deliver me. Help me. That is a good biblical godly prayer that is very common in the book of Psalms. And if you trust in God, bring it up to him. God, I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you, God. I don't have anywhere else to turn. And God wants to come through for you when you trust in him. And let me just show you verses that along that theme I just explained and illustrated to you. Let me show you verses that talk about that and say it that way. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Verse 2, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Verse 20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Psalm 71. You can see how clearly there they pray that way, saying, God, don't let me be ashamed. I'm trusting in you. You're the one I'm looking for. Psalm 71, verse 1, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, wherefore I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. His Lord, I put you, you're my trust. Do not let me be put to confusion. And just one more verse in this, Psalm 57. Verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. So trusting in the Lord puts a demand of the Lord to help you. Next, trust in the Lord removes worry. Trust in the Lord removes worry. Psalms 27, we read one of the verses in that chapter, but verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. And then just Psalm chapter 2 and verse 12. We just said, and we read this verse already, but I just want to read it again. Verse 6. Let me read verse 4. He that sitteth in heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have him in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Then in verse 12, blessed are they that put their trust in him. Hey, the whole world's going to be confusion, but I put the Lord upon my holy hill. I'm going to trust in him, and blessed are all those that put their trust in him. I'm not going to be full of worry, and I'm going to trust him. So first of all, we become blessed when we trust in God. He brings us mercy. It fulfills purposes. It brings joy. It brings help. It brings courage. It puts a demand on God to help us, and it removes the worry in our lives. If we trust God, he blesses us. Number two, when we trust, we miss the blessings of God. And we miss the blessings of trust by some common mistakes. See, a lot of times we miss God's blessing because we simply do not trust God. And I want to dwell on this just for a minute here, although there's not as many points, because it's a big problem because we miss the blessings of God with the same common mistakes. By verbally what we say, we trust God. But I say very few people really trust God, although most of us say we do trust the Lord. See, trust and worry are exclusive. They're mutually exclusive. They cannot exist together. Fear and faith don't go together. I trust the Lord, but I just don't know what I'm going to do. No, you can't. You can't do that. And we miss the blessings of God because we don't trust him. How do we mess this up? And how do we mess up the trust thing? What are our common mistakes? Number one common mistake is trusting in the wrong things. Trusting in the wrong things. Now, I would think that I don't trust in the wrong things, and I know better, but as I analyzed myself and thought on this point, I realized just how much faith I have in the wrong things. First of all, the thing we trust in, let's turn to Psalm chapter 20. In verse 7, let's see what we can trust in here. Wrong. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, O God, let the king hear us when we call. What does some trust in? Chariots. Horses and chariots, preparation. As the Bible says, a horse is prepared for the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, they spend an amazing amount of money on military vehicles and the safety of them. And boy, it's amazing how safe those things are and how many safety things they have and how many levels of safety. But you know what? You'll just hear about an amazing high-tech jet going down and everything failed. I remember Guam several years ago. I think it was one of the stealth bombers went down and everybody died on board. And there's ejections and warnings and this and that. But you know what? We trust in the safety things. We put more faith in a hospital than in doing God's ability to keep us safe. But you know that doctor, if God decides you're not going to live, it doesn't matter what that doctor does. I'm not against doctors. Doctors are great. I'm glad we have good hospitals around here. And all that's good. And I feel better if I'm in the hospital. But ultimately, you need to realize there's only so much they can do. Trust in the Lord. Psalm chapter 118. Some things that we trust in. Psalm 118. And verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, mankind. People put a lot of faith in mankind. A lot of people do that just a couple times. And then they realize you can't completely trust man. Even the best of man. You can trust in somebody who's a good person and means well, and they die. Or their ability to help you goes away. Or they're not there when you call. Or your phone doesn't work and you try to call them. Listen, we put way too much confidence in man. And it's, some put confidence in man and in princes and in humans. And that's a mistake we make. Putting too much confidence in man. Christians do it, and they put too much confidence in a man as the preacher, and the preacher messes up, and everybody in the church messes up. Listen, don't put too much confidence in man. Yes, God may put good people in your life, and you can trust some good people, but ultimately, you better be hanging on to God with one hand while you're reaching out and shaking somebody else's hand. Because men can fail. Even good men and good women can fail. And we put too much confidence in man. Psalm 49. Psalm 49 and verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. What do you trust here? Riches. Trust in riches. Psalm 52 and verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. God says that person's going to fall, but I'm going to be like a green olive tree in the house of God. Verse 8, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Well, this got me a little bit today. We trust in our riches. And the Bible talks in the New Testament about those who trust in uncertain riches. I thought about this today, and I had to be honest with myself. I don't usually have a lot of money, but I'm pretty good with it. And I'm pretty careful with it. I know how not to blow it. And I'm a pretty well-prepared person financially. I have a lot of food in my house. I have things prepared. And I've done that with very little money over the years. If you came to me and gave me my house paid off and gave me $500,000, I'd live the rest of my I could live the rest of my life on that. And I thought, you know, if somebody gave me $500,000 and paid off my mortgage, I have a family of eight to feed and one in college. That's a pretty big responsibility. And one of us, I'm not going to say who, eats a lot. And that's a lot of pressure. And by the way, I've done most of that. Most of the time that I've had kids, I have made less money significantly than I needed to make them ends meet. I have pressure every month of my life that's very intense to pay all my bills. every month. If you went and put $500,000 in the bank for me and paid off my mortgage, I would go, no more worries. And I thought, you know what? I have more confidence in $1 million in a mortgage paid off than I have confidence in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Are you with me? How many of you, if I just did two or three financial things, you would say, okay, I'm safe now, I don't need to worry anymore? Or if two or three things were just changing your life, you'd be able to just be happy and relaxed in life. Yet, God may not have settled those things, but says, I'm with you always. Be content with such things you have. And I thought, you know what? I think I have too much confidence in uncertain riches. Do you know I could have that $500,000 in the bank and the bank collapses? Well, fortunately, the government will save it. Yeah. They got extra money. And you know, a hilarious thing is, a lot of people think that, well, you know, I've got a government job, or you know what, I'm on the government system, so I'm safe now. They have a lot of confidence in the government. I tell you, Uncle Sam is $15 trillion in debt. And I hate to say that, because somebody's going to listen to this message in a month and say, it's not 15, it's 16. But you know what? I don't think we have enough security in just being right with him. And I'm fine. I'm in God's hands. Does it, Psalm 91, 10,000 can fall at my right hand. It's not. I'm fine. We need to be people who really don't put our confidence in earthly things. Well, I get health insurance now. Everything's going to be fine. It doesn't matter if they pay your bill if you croak on the way to the hospital. There's so many things that we think, if I had this, I would be fine and happy. And how many people have said that to me? How many people over the years have tried to put their confidence in something else? But we put our trust in the wrong things. See, humans are strange things, and humans are kind of strange. We put our trust in riches and in mankind. We humans like physical, tangible things. We like money in the bank. We like these things. We like to know where our income is going to come from next week. You know, dogs are funny things. You know, dogs don't look very much. You know what dogs do? They sniff. If a dog can't smell, it's messed up and insecure and doesn't know what to do because it relies. It didn't even look, and it's just sniffing, walking around. You know what? You know what cats want? Cats want all 4 feet touching something. You ever try to hold a cat upside down? Cats want their feet on something or they're not secure. That's just the way cats are. Dogs got to know what the smell is. Cats have to have their feet touch. And you can hold a cat. All you do is put all four of their limbs on something and a cat will be just fine. Humans? And by the way, I can hold the cat. It's all confident. I could be killing the cat in 1 minute. But I'm holding all four paws, so it's safe. You know, humans, we look with our eyes. It's not our noses. It's not. We want that security. We want to see things are going to be okay. And if we don't see things are okay, we don't see the money in the bank, we don't see the doctor says we can do it, we don't see that everything's worked out in the future, we don't see who we're going to marry, we don't see how that person's going to change, we don't see how our problems are going to be fixed, we have no confidence. I'll believe you, God, just show me what you're going to do. But that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We trust in the wrong thing. Our common mistakes that make us miss the blessings of God and trust in him are, first of all, we trust in the wrong thing. And secondly, our doubts are stronger than our trust of him. Our doubts are stronger than our trust in God. And we believe our doubts are, and we believe our problems are bigger than God. Psalm chapter 4, verse 5 says, offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. And we're not going to turn to it, but Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean on to thine own understanding, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, we're supposed to trust God completely, whether we see the way or not. Whether we see the way or not. Sometimes we trust, our doubts in because of our weakness are bigger than our faith because of God's power. We believe that our weakness is greater than his mercy. And we believe because our badness, God can't take care of us because his badness is more powerful than his mercy that can forgive us. But the Bible doesn't say that. Psalms 52. Psalm 52. And verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of my God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Those who trust God are not people who don't sin. Those who trust God are the ones who believe that God's mercy forgave them and God still loves them and God can take care of them. They have more faith in the mercy of God and in the love of God and the power of the cross than they do the darkness and wickedness of their sin. And they trust in God's mercy over their weakness. Psalm chapter 13 and verse 5. It says, but I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in their salvation. Hey, this is David talking. And David needed God's mercy, yet God took care of David even in his older years after he'd done some really bad things, including murder and adultery and lying and a bunch of other things, because they trusted in his mercy. I believe we doubt God sometimes because we believe in we doubt him, and our doubts are stronger than our trust of him. I think another thing you mess up in where we don't get to trust God is because we don't trust any link between us and God. I don't think we trust any link between us and God. Let me explain this. I think this is really important. Okay? You got a let's take a good example of this. Sarah in 1 Peter says God blessed her because she trusted God, having called her husband Lord. See, God put Abraham over Sarah. And God said, Sarah, you're in my hands. And then Sarah got in a very uncomfortable situation where Abraham said, tell him you're my sister, not my wife. And they were step sister and brother, but also husband and wife. And the Bible says she trusted God in this thing and said, yes, sir, and said, he's my brother. And then they took her away, these heathen men, into a heathen harem, and she did nothing but trust God. A woman today would say, I'm not trusting that man. I don't trust him. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's telling me to say this. That's cowardly. That's isn't that. But she trusted God, that the powers that be are ordained of God, and I'm going to obey my husband because God works through the authority. And boy, when you preach on this, a whole bunch of people get real uncomfortable. Except for your discomfort will simply be, I'm just not comfortable with that, not Bible verses. I understand when they tell you not to follow the Bible, you don't contradict the Bible, but until then, you're obligated. And children, I always love when a child tries to sound spiritual, like they love God when they disobey their parents. They're not God. But you know what? God ordained them in your life. Well, they're not Christians. God still ordained them in your life. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever there resists the power resists the ordinance of God. Well, not if it's a bad authority. Do you know who that was written to? That was written to the Romans. The Romans were in Rome. You want to talk about a bad authority? That was the authority that crucified Jesus and was killing Christians. And to the Romans, it was written, the powers that be are ordained of God. Do not resist them. See, we do not believe that God can work through a system. We don't believe that Joseph could be working through the guard there in the prison, or God could be working through Pharaoh, or God could be working through Daniel's leader in Daniel chapter 1, but God does. And we do not trust God enough that he can lead us and deliver us when we trust him and do what he says. We say, we trust God, but I can't go into that ministry because it's dangerous there. Those people are there. Or because I don't know if the bank's able to take care of me. You're not trusting the banks and their ability to transfer money to some foreign country. You're trusting God. Amen. You're not trusting a church to take care of you. You're not, you're, There are links in between, but you're ultimately trusting God. Yet we don't trust God enough to say, Lord, I put this in your hands. I'm going to do what they say. I'm going to obey. That's how the wife wins her husband. That's how kids win their parents. That's how Sarah got the blessing of God, because she trusted God enough that he could even work through somebody else and do those things. And we are supposed to trust God enough that he can take care of us even when there is an authority in the way. And we believe God can work those things out. And so we trust God enough to do that. And I understand if they tell you to disobey God, you obey the higher authority, which is God, trusting God to be able to take care of you, which they did when they went to jail and sang at midnight, because you're always trusting God. Next, and lastly, the Lord gets mad when we... And by the way, let me go back to that for a sec. I hope my wife trusts me, but I think that the trust is more than me. I think she knows God's going to take care of her whether I'm wrong or not. If she will obey God and obey me, God is going to take care of her whether I'm right or not, whether I'm a good provider or not, because she's ultimately trusting God by following me. Her job is not to lead me to be the right kind of person who could take care of her. That's never the right position. And so she cannot nag me into God taking care of her. She follows God's plan, and God takes care of her. And that illustrated in 1,000 different ways in the Bible. Number three, the last point. The Lord gets mad when we do not trust him. It seems like we would have said that already, but we actually haven't. The Lord gets mad when we don't trust him. Let's go to Psalm 78. The Lord gets mad and we don't trust him. It's insulting. Psalm 78, verse 21. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and his anger came up against Israel, because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. Verse 31, the wrath of God has come upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sin still and believe not his wondrous works. The wrath of the Lord is kindled because they did not trust him. And can I say this? If you are a trustworthy person, when someone does not trust you, it's insulting. What if I came to you and I said, you know what? I need you to hold this $100 bill for me for a while. I'll come back and get it tomorrow. You know what? I better not. I don't know if I'll get it back. That'd be pretty insulting, wouldn't it? What if I went to one of you ladies and said, I need a babysitter. Take care. Never mind. I don't want to put my kids with you. I don't trust you. That is insulting. What if a woman looked at her husband and said, you know what? We're probably not going to make it because I don't trust your ability to take care of us at all. What if the husband said to his wife, you know what? I wanted to invite some people over for a meal, but I don't trust your cooking. Do you see how insulting a lack of trust is? Child says to her dad, Dad, you know what? If I don't trust your ability to take care of us, somebody comes after us, we're dead meat. I mean, it is insulting not to trust somebody who deserves trust. How do you think the God of the universe feels when you say, I don't know what we're going to do? Ah! God, you can't. No, we never say those words. God, you can't take care of me. But God tells us what to do, and it's not going to work out. I don't know what to do. And yet God's taking care of you day by day. He hasn't given you everything in the future. Yet you'd have more confidence if you had $1 million in the bank than you have in God. I don't want to say it's insulting and God gets mad. You know, guys, I can handle your problem. I can pay your bills. I can keep you safe. I can make everyone around you die if I want to. No one's going to hurt you if I don't want it to. I can keep your heart pumping if you need to. I can take care of your spouse. I can whatever needs to happen, whatever you're worried about, I'm strong enough. You're insulting me. And God kept getting mad at Israel because he'd say, What are we going to do? What are we going to eat? And God says, here, it'll rain down food. What are we going to drink? Water will come from the rock. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? We're going to die. Everything they freaked out about. And they never came to the point where they said, you know what? You think they would catch on? God's able to take care of us. But he was really insulted. He said, fine, you're not going to the promised land. You doubt me? I'm sick of this. Give me somebody who trusts me. God gets mad when you don't trust him. I hope today will be psalmist and learn to trust in God and put confidence in him and just say, you know what? I'm going to get God's blessing because I trust him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I pray we'd be psalmist. I pray, as it says in 89 times in the book of Psalms, trust in the Lord. Yeah, Lord, we have a lot of confidence, Lord, in a lot of things. Government, man, rich people, banks, bank accounts, food in storage, doctors. And Lord, none of these are wrong, and all of them are fine, Lord, but our confidence should be in you alone. We lock our doors, Father, but ultimately safety is of you. We wear our seatbelts, Father, but we shouldn't trust in that. They can't keep us safe from a head-on collision and a drunk driver. Lord, we need to put confidence in you and bring those blessings upon us. Help us to be people who don't make you angry, but make you happy by saying, you know what? I trust you, Lord. I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to do what you say. Lord, help us to not be frantic, worried, anxious, doubting, and even going against your word and trying to take control of our lives. Help us to trust in you, because you say they that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved. And Lord, it's one of our points we didn't get to, that when we trust you, we don't get moved and we're stable. Help us, Lord, to trust you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Do you feel